Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
I need you right away. I need you now. I need you now.
You recognize the music of Grammy Award-winning artist Smokey Norful. But we're not here to talk about his music tonight. We're talking about an old photo that is getting new life and new criticism on social media. It's the photo of Norful and his son, 16 years old at the time, in an embrace on a sofa. The son appears to be sleeping. But why is there still criticism of this photograph? Can fathers show too much affection towards their sons? How much is too much? Or is this toxic masculinity? Well, tonight we are talking about this issue, and joining me to discuss it are documentary filmmaker and social activist Jenks Morton and Doctor of Clinical Psychology Jeff Menzies. Lines are open if you want to comment on this at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Jeff, Jenks, thank you both for joining the conversation.
It's a pleasure. How you been, Harold?
Hey, I'm doing okay. Look, let me start with you, Jenks, because I must admit, I did not see this photograph 2 years ago when it first came out. But when I looked at it this week and then saw some of the criticism, the first thing that came to my mind was, come on, man. Haven't we grown up, you know, by now?
We've done a lot of radio together over time, and we can end this conversation right now. Like, you got to be kidding.
Right.
I don't get it. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
It's so ridiculous. Like, anybody can find an axe to grind on the internet. But the first thought that came to my mind, and, you know, connected Snooki with Kirk Franklin and his son. You remember that deal a couple of years ago, where his son kind of caught him and filmed him, and it's just like a lot of angst and tension between the two of them?
I can't say I do. I don't remember. Yeah.
It's Kirk Franklin's son filmed him on an airplane.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes, I do. Yeah, Kirk. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, because they were having a lot of beef on the, you know, on social media and everywhere else.
I'm not been in their house. I'm not judging. But to me, that's the house where I don't believe appropriate connection between father and son has happened. You know, all the hostility from Kirk, the backstabbing from the son. So to tie that back into Snooki, you know, it's like, that's what you want. And, you know, I'm a father of an autistic son.
Mm.
That's going on all the time. You know what I mean? I'm touching him. I'm hugging him. You know, I was in Walmart, and the lady asked me, she said, it must be your weekend to have him. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Ooh-wee.
Yeah, no, like literally, she walked up to me like, is this much of your weekend? Like, are you kidding? So,
and you should have said, no, this is your weekend to mind your business. But,
you know, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's probably what I would have. Yeah, because, but this thing to me, mm-hmm. And I don't have a son, I have a daughter.
That's right.
But in looking at it, the first thing that came to my mind again was, after I got over my annoyance at some of the comments, was, oh, look at that.
Yep.
Because the entire time that, you know, I had my father until this past May, you know, even as an adult, you know, I kissed my father on his forehead. I hugged him. And it probably would not have been unusual to find me on the sofa with my father, one of us, asleep, during a football game on the other, snuggled up against, because that, that was my daddy. I loved him. What's wrong with it? Jeff, my question is, what's going on with black men and being critical of affection between father and son? What's the missing piece here?
I think a part of the issue, Harold, is that it's so few and far between in many people's lives. A lot of young men and older men these days did not have affection from their father if they had, the presence of their father. And so, when people see it, it's probably initially a shock to the system. It's strange to some people. Strange is in not something that they get a chance to regularly see and or experience. And then the other thing, is that if you do have an affectionate father, there is a certain line that some fathers draw on the affection, especially after a certain age, with the idea that, you want your son to grow up and be independent and all these other things that come with what we understand, what some people understand fatherhood and manhood to be about. And the one thing about the picture, if I had any criticism about it, is that it would just look like that they're cuddling. That he's cuddling a teenage boy or a preteen boy. It's a get his big butt off you, man, and go lay down on the couch over there somewhere type of thing. But, there's no problem at all. In fact, it's absolutely healthy, for fathers to show affection and love to their sons.
So then what's wrong with the black men who are critical of this? Janks, what are they afraid of?
I think it's okay, so you and I come from the same neighborhood. I keep throwing that in there. And that wonderful arc and that testament that you have to what you did with your old man, I don't have.
Yeah, I know. The relationship with your father was not the best. You've been very, very public about that.
Right, but what I'm saying is, so for me to shift my lens for my son, it's a thing you have to go through, where you take the best and reject the rest. And we have another dear friend between us that basically told me like this: before he did anything with his son, he asked himself, what would his father do? And then do the exact opposite.
Mm.
So you go through this kind of, there's got to be a clinical term to it, but you reverse your mindset around what you have been normalized and socialized to, and just throw a lot of that garbage out. And if you don't do that, then you see, I'll tell you this, even with my growth, when I heard you tell it, I got a little jealous. You understand?
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, I wish I would be able to say. You just, it's how you're brought up and how you're reared, but then you got to understand that there's a better way to do this. And I don't care. Get your big butt over here. Let's go watch some football. I wish, but I'm doing all of that with my boy now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about fathers, sons, how they show emotion. Can they show too much? Is any criticism of fathers and sons showing emotion and affection toxic masculinity? What do you think? Give me a call at 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Gregory, calling from Maryland. Gregory, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening.
Hey.
Mr. Fisher and guest. The Bible speaks about overweening pride. You want to, avoid, it kind of speaks about how a man should, someone should avoid overweening pride. But regarding the Bible, I think you should let the love of Jesus Christ guide you in how you show your love for your son. My father, I think, let Jesus guide him. He's deceased now, but I think Jesus guided him how he showed love to me. And the same with my grandfather. And, I'm thankful to God for the love they showed me. But the bottom line is, you gotta show them love, but let Jesus, God's love, guide you in how you show your son love.
So, Gregory, here's my question. Did you hug your father? Did your father hug you?
My father, let's see, did he hug me? I don't know.
This is a personal show, but if you have to think about it,
yeah,
then the answer is no. I mean, it,
years ago.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, if you have to think about it, then I think the answer is no.
No, my father showed me adequate affection.
Now, what is that? Define adequate affection.
Well, I mean, this is speaking to the global people. I don't know if I'm talking about business, but I can tell you my father showed me adequate affection. I'm really thankful to God for the affection my father showed me.
Okay. I'll let you slide on that, Gregory. But thank you so much for calling. That's my point. If you have to think, did my father hug me? If you can't really put into words what adequate affection is, and I'm not jumping on Gregory.
No.
You know, but what I'm saying is, if you, like I said, if you ask me, did my father hug me every time I saw him?
Yeah.
Did my grandfather hug me every time I saw him? You know, but I come from an affectionate family, you know, not to mention, of course, you know, my father and I were also frat brothers. So you can't dap him up. You can't dap him up without giving him the grip.
Right. Right.
You know, but we were father and son long before we were members of Kappa Alpha Psi. So that But you know, I think the issue is what Gregory was struggling with, and I think a lot of guys are, Jeff. What is adequate affection?
I think the concept of adequate affection is unique to the individual and their circumstance. Mm-hmm. I mean, for some people, getting dapped up and hugged and told I love you every day is sufficient. To other people, having a father that's present is teaching you things is sufficient as well. And so I want us to be very careful, you know, in our critical tone against fathers who may not hug and kiss their sons every day and tell them I love you. You know, that might be their form of showing love and affection. And because that's not what we had or what we maybe desire or what we see now as being what's the good way of raising a son, that, you know, we shouldn't be negative and critical against that. I mean, even the whole concept of toxic masculinity is in and of itself a very dangerous concept to be throwing around, because it makes it seem that somehow masculinity itself is being indicted, like it's something wrong with it. And there are various forms of masculinity. And I noticed that, you know, over the years and in the recent past, you know, masculinity is being come under the question. Like, for example, men are being accused of things such as manspreading in public spaces and sitting with your legs open on the train or on the bus. You know, so we got to be very cautious when we start, you know, throwing terms like that around and criticizing men of being men in the way that they are being men.
And I will admit, you know, that my experience in some ways may be unique. However, the brothers who were and still are, and, you know, my circle when I was growing up, and, you know, and I knew their fathers hugged them also. Mm-hmm. And so maybe it is in, you know, my, you know, historic emotional solar system and the guys, all of them wonderful men, you know, fathers to this day and husbands and the like, I would argue that, you know, the love that they received from their fathers, even if their parents were not together, some were not. Well, that may have had something to do with it. Go ahead.
My first cousin, the oldest cousin, you know, the one who's close to the baby boy, he's like, he always says this, like, they did the best they knew how. We've got horror stories, so. You know, in this palette or this spectrum of what, you know, fatherhood looks like, I can't even say if that's the one that needs to be desired to, because you parent your kids differently.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, like, some you have to be firmer with, but, you know, like...
Us.
But...
yes.
There's kids from my neighborhood that just had, you know... But, and then I got other folks... Their fathers never touched them. I mean, they beat them, but they never touched them.
Yeah, something to think about. Hold that point, Jenks. I've got to take a break. Gerald from Silver Spring, we're going to talk to him. Edwin from Maryland, we're going to talk to him as well. We're talking about that Smokey Norfolk photograph of him hugging his son. It's 2 years old, but there's some new criticism of it. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back with this conversation in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are asking the question, can fathers show too much affection towards their sons? How much is too much? All of this coming out of the backdrop of that 2-year-old Smokey Norfolk photograph, the gospel music artist who was seen holding his son on a sofa. And new criticism of that photograph and how fathers show affection, love, emotions with their sons. My guests are documentary filmmaker and social activist Jenks Morton and doctor of clinical psychology Jeff Menzi. If you can't get through, please keep trying. I definitely want to hear from you at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Jenks, go ahead, finish your point.
Oh, no, I was actually done. We were just talking about the spectrum of fatherhood and not to really denigrate or castigate because it's different from our experience. And my cousin's dovetail on that was like, you know, there's a lot of complaints that come from our generation about fatherhood, but he always said, you know, they didn't know no better. That's the best thing. They did the best they knew how.
But, you know, my criticism is not of those who did not have the same kind of affectionate relationship that I had with my father. My criticism is of those who criticize the photograph, who say that it's too much. That's where my criticism lies. Because, right. Jeff, some fathers didn't, they may have spanked their children, never hugged them. They may never have spanked them, but never hugged them, never told them that they loved them, but they were always around and always were supportive. And some people may define that as love, and that's okay.
Absolutely. And see, I think the criticism for the photo is akin to the criticism that Will Smith received a few years ago when he would kiss his son Jaden in the mouth, you know, as a teenager. And I think it's along those same lines to where, you know, there's a time for, you know, you'll allow your boy to grow into manhood. And in Jaden's case, Jaden would literally try to resist it and try to get away from it. And it became a sort of type of ha-ha-ha moment. Will, at least he was laughing. And if they were in an interview, the interviewer would be laughing. But Jaden was clearly trying to get away from it. And then in the photograph that's in question, the brother, he's not just holding his son. They actually look like they're cuddling. And his son is actually nestled up. You know, and it's kind of like a thing, again, the world looks at, you know, regardless of what we individually think, the world looks at males and men in a certain way with certain expectations. And I think that some people might be having a visceral response, a knee-jerk reaction like, man, if he's quote-unquote babying that boy, that babying that young man, he's not going to be prepared for what this world is going to have for him. And so it might come out as criticism, but it could be a very deep level of concern for the boy not being prepared for what many of us as men have had to experience in this world. It does require a certain degree of toughness.
Yeah.
And I think that's a part of people's, deep unconscious concern there that comes out as criticism sometimes.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Edwin, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Edwin. What's on your mind?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Hey, just wanted to say hello to everyone in the panel. Well, I just wanted to say and share that from the time my son was little, I showed him a lot of love and affection and kissed him on the cheek. And there was times where I would kiss him on the cheek and he'd be like, Daddy, why are you kissing me? And I continued to show him love and I showed him different cultures. Mm. I showed him how the Spanish people kiss, how the Italians kiss, how the Africans kiss. And I said, you're going to understand one day. So my point is that right now, if my son came to see me, the first thing he's going to do is say, hey, Dad, and he's going to kiss me on each side of my cheek. And
how old is he?
Nothing wrong with his masculinity. Just wanted to share.
How old is he?
He's 36 now, and I'm 62.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that the fathering that you did before, long before he got to 36 makes that not only comfortable for him, but something that he probably would defend. And to your point, Edwin, I was actually going to bring up, I know that, you know, in the Middle East, men, friends, fathers and sons do, you know, hold hands. It's a cultural thing. And, yes. But to the African-American culture, as Jeff was saying, for some, this may not fit the what is acceptable within the subculture of African-American men. But, Edwin, thank you so much. Let me go to Gerald. Gerald calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling, Gerald. What's on your mind?
Yes, can you hear me?
Go right ahead.
Okay, yes. And so now it seems like a lot of things I wanted to say have been said.
That's all right.
I know my time is limited. But I'll say this. I do believe, I'm going to reinforce what you just said, that it's a cultural thing. When you look at other cultures and how they do with their fathers and sons, you know, it's just different. And so I believe in a culture here where the rate of suicide amongst black men is so high, you know, that's something to consider there too. And also, for those who are critical, I mean, when you look at, now, I'm not quoting science, I'm not saying this is science, but it has been said that some people, so I'm not attacking any group, but some people, when they don't get the affection from the same gender parent when they're young, the affection that they really need, they'll get it later somehow in another way. So you want to get them while they're young so they can understand what it means to have the touch of a man without any motive, where it's nothing but love from a father like it should be. Because when those hormones start kicking in, okay, and then they get older, there, you know, it is said and it has been studied that the hormones will amplify where the emotions are.
Gerald, hold on. I'm not exactly sure what you're suggesting.
I hear what he's saying, but he's asking. So let me interject right there.
Yeah.
So I'll take it to my daughters. I know that as a father, I hold them, I touch them in a non-agenda, non-sexual kind of way, so that they know when the first guy that touches them in a sexual way, they know the difference.
Okay.
I condition them to know what it feels like for a man to hold them, for a man to protect them, for a man to just to hold their hand, because they can tell that daddy doesn't want anything from them.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to, sounds like he's trying to transpose that on to men, but on a, you know, man to man basis.
Yeah, I can't speak about any studies,
I will say
there are a whole lot of guys who probably got absolutely nothing from their fathers, including their presence, and that had really no impact on their sexuality.
And it'd be hard pressed to find any type of study that's going to back up that concept.
Yeah, but Gerald, thank you for your input. Nevertheless,
I did want to dovetail on this.
Sure, go ahead.
Because it just jarred me. I'm sitting here, and he started talking about culture. My best friend, early in my sales career, his name was Alberto Rivera. He's Latin. And he used to kiss his baby brother on the lips. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, it didn't make any sense in my brain until he broke me down.
Mm.
He said, you have a problem. This is what we do. This is how we show affection. And his father's not around. I'm like his father. You know, there's a big age difference between him and his baby brother. But this is what we do in my culture. So, you know, the problem is with you. And I want to take that and launch that back onto all the people who were critiquing that photograph. That's their problem.
See, but that's the other thing is that, yeah, it is cultural. I remember being in Gambia in West Africa, and I was walking, and I was talking to a brother, and he grabbed my hand. I shook his hand. We started walking. And he didn't let my hand go. And I realized, okay, right, I'm here in Gambia. When in Gambia, do is Gambia. So we walked and we held hands the whole time. You know, but then I remember I shook another guy's hand. He would hold my hand, and he started trying to tickle my palm in a sort of sexual advance. And so, you know, and immediately I let go of his hand and said, nah, bro, it ain't like that. And so we can say that it's cultural, and it is cultural, but just because it's cultural doesn't mean it's correct in all instances either. And then the other thing is this.
Yes,
there's
yes.
also another level of bonding amongst the men and the boys in those other cultures. And so, you know, they grow up with collective of boys going through their boyhood training, their manhood training, and things of that nature. And so it's a different level of bond all the way around in those cultures. And so the brother that called in and said he taught his son the cultural expression and the kissing on this side of cheek and that side of cheek, you do that sometimes in Islam here too, in the nation sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, but you know, again, it's a different overall cultural context that if the brother didn't give him that cultural context and have other things that are probably related to that culture, then it would still be seen as foreign and seen as problematic. And so we can't really just cherry pick certain parts of a culture and leave the other things that actually help that part of the culture be a good and healthy thing.
Yeah, not to mention, I mean, and let's just stick to, you know, African American culture, for example. And we can, you don't have to look far to observe the trajectory of what would be considered, you know, non-sexual masculine affection, not necessarily between father and son, but between men and men. All you got to do is watch football or basketball on the weekends. When, you know, when the game is over, you know, teammates and opposing teams, you know, what do? They shake hands, they embrace, they hug each other. I would probably, you know, argue that 30 years ago, you would have seen handshakes, but you would not have seen those kinds of embraces among...
They embraced. Yeah. They embraced 30 years ago. I mean, I remember seeing, you know, like Isaiah Thomas and Magic Johnson embracing, and, you know, they would stand and with arm over each other's shoulders. So it did happen then, too. But again, we're talking about that's a close-knit family of men.
Yes. You know,
they're bonding over the sport, the elite level of the sport. You know, it's a camaraderie there. You know what? You do still see it. I see it in the streets, too, among some of the street dudes. They are very affectionate with each other. They look out for each other. They sharing their tips. They walking sometimes arm around the other one's shoulder. You know, and so it is there. But I think that the issue is here is when you have the adult male and the child, the father and the son,
mm-hmm.
and so many people don't get a chance to experience that. That is jolting and is shocking to the system. And as the co-panelist,
Janks Morton,
I don't want to mispronounce your name, good brother.
Mm-hmm.
But you said it earlier that you were kind of jealous, you know, when Harold was telling his story. And sometimes brothers mm-hmm. see that. And it triggers something in them like, man, I wish my father was here. If I take them right back to being 9 years old, looking out the window, expecting the father to come and get them.
Mm.
But as opposed to even they haven't reconciled that kind of feeling or those emotions or that. It's like I felt a little jealous, but that was it. Like I'm not hating on them. But if they haven't processed that, then there are kind of visceral responses. Oh, look at that. Look at the baby and that boy. You know, they don't even know where their kind of angst or bitterness or hatred comes from. Because they
have
yeah,
we call it it's an ego defense mechanism, real quick, called reaction formation, and that's mm-hmm. when you take something that's desired, but you make it a bad thing because it's unobtainable to you.
Mm.
And, you know, the vernacular, we just call it hate. And so, yeah, you hate on something that you really like and that you really desire and that you really want.
Yeah, Terry, calling from.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Calling from Maryland. What's on your mind?
So, I want to say that almost everything we do nowadays seems like people want to sexualize it. I see nothing wrong with a father kissing his son, embracing his son. That's the form of affection. He's teaching him. He's showing him how to love. He's telling him it's okay to love. He's telling him it's okay to be affectionate. And if your mind goes to the gutter when you see that, then that says a lot about you. A lot of people, they get upset and they want to make things to be the worst thing, and it's not always about that. And then society is looking and they're saying, well, he didn't have a father in his life, or if he got the love at home, or this is why they did that. And then we have fathers out here who are trying to do it and they're being criticized.
I agree, Terry. Thank you so much for your input. Let's go to Kevin Hello. Calling from Springfield, Virginia. Kevin, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, my name is Kevin, and I'm calling just to say I'm saddened that we have to have this conversation
but on tomorrow, I will be 54 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My father has been deceased over 20 years.
Mm.
What I really want for my birthday is the embrace of my father.
Yeah.
That's what I want. But I can't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a son, hug your son. Love your son. So that he knows that his father loved him, cared for him, and showed him what real masculinity is. We've got to get away from masculinity being aggression and sexual prowess. It's time to let that go. It's time to let that go.
Yeah.
That's all I need to say. Yeah.
He's making such a great point because I tried to try to expand that kind of that, you know, they devolve masculinity or manhood or father down to protection and provision. That's such a narrow bandwidth. If I lose my job or I don't have money and I can't provide for the family, that makes you less of a whatever. And what your caller was just saying, that we got to get out of these boxes that I think have limited our ability to connect, our ability to have, you know, deep, meaningful relationships, or even the kind of support to one another, as, you know, doctor said earlier about, you know, like suicide rates amongst black men. When you see that thing, it'll make you cry. When you see the spikes of everybody else and then see ours way up there on the graph, like, what is going on? And I think that a lot of this has a lot to do with it.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I'm an advocate for expanding the concept of masculinity and not necessarily getting rid of those traditional aspects of it. So, you know, the aggression and sexual prowess is a part of masculinity. It comes with the testosterone, you know, that's natural to male, you know, the male species, the male part of the human species. And so, you know, yes, get out the box by expanding the box, but that doesn't mean get rid of the things that are natural.
No,
I'm not talking about you. Okay. I'm talking in general because it's been said and it's said often. You know, like the brother just said, it's not about sexual prowess and aggression, but it is a part of it. And so we don't need to lose what masculinity is, our hormonal nature, but we can expand upon it because we no longer have to be like the 300, for example, that movie 300.
This is Sparta. Yeah.
Yeah. And so and I think that a part of the suicide rate is because we are in a sort of a war. You know, we are subjected to more racism than anybody else on the planet as black men. And sometimes that racism is very subtle. And sometimes it does cause you to compromise your ability to provide for your family. And so, you know, all of that is a part of the same bag that we need to be talking about. And it does require for us to be aware on some level. It does require for us to be battle tested and ready on some levels, because I mean, I wanted to ask the sister earlier if it was a different type of discussion. You know, how does she feel, you know, about a man that is, you know, masculine as compared to a man who is more effeminate, you know, and both in quotation marks, just so we can have a full conversation about the necessity of masculinity and manhood and how we should not just throw it away for the sake of trying to be more in touch with our emotions.
Well, so you said expanded in what way?
Expanded to include some of the stuff that we're talking about, you know, not being afraid to show affection. Like whenever I see my son, I dap him up, I hug him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I hugged him and kissed him when he was younger. I've never stopped hugging my son. I don't kiss him anymore. I don't kiss him on the cheek. I might kiss him on the top of his head sometimes. I tell him I'm proud of him. I tell him I love him. I tell him how he's grown into a very responsible young man. All of these things. But at the same time, I keep that other edge to where I want him to be sharp. I want him to be strong. I want him to be assertive. I want him to be ready in case any time the battle comes to him. And a part of masculinity is strategic. And so I'm talking about expanding it in that way, Earl, allow us to now be able to be in touch with our emotions, to express them freely.
And Jeff, to your point, when I was talking about, you know, my father and, you know, my grandfather, yes, you know, when I, you know, sometimes I kiss my father on the cheek, but sometimes I kissed him on his forehead. He's shorter than me. he was. My grandfather, you know, as well. But, and honestly, I probably believe that was really kind of started with my grandfather because my grandfather was, you know, Southern. He was a Southern, you know, not just Southern, but he was country.
Mm.
And, you know, I know that his, can I say it, 9 brothers and sisters who are no longer with us, but, you know, way down there in South Carolina, When I went down there as a kid, everybody was hugging the men.
Yeah.
So I think that was probably, at least for me, an outgrowth of that. And and as a result, it was something that, that my father and I, did as well. But to the other point, when you talk about masculinity, and we can go back to pop culture. Examples, like, for example, in Queen Sugar, the character Ralph Angel Bordelone, he cries on the series, and he does not have a problem showing all of his emotions, the
right.
anger, the sadness, the love, the passion, the love and passion for his wife, the love for his son. And his family, he is an emotional person. But I would argue that, tears, even as it relates to the character, may not necessarily sit well with some people, Jenks.
But I want to go back to where this conversation started. It's the chair you sit in and the lens you have on the world that you can only see if you're looking in one direction. If you haven't seen what's behind you, you don't know what exists outside of that, so it might seem abnormal outside of your norm. What I would challenge all of us as men is that I think no one can sit in these chairs and say, "Oh, I was raised with the perfect situation, the perfect everything was." If you say that, I think you're in denial. I think we all can do better, and I think that for me, the doing better is giving what I know to be better to my children. I was convicted by, his name is Neil Irvin, great social advocate up there in D.C., and I met his father, just a kind, gentle, old soul, and Neil said something. He said, "My father never touched me." Like, no, they were hugging and all that stuff, but his father had never, ever laid a hand on him, and I saw how Neil's outcome was, and I said, so this is possible. So black beating your kids doesn't have to be a thing, and you make right. a choice to do right. better.
Yeah.
Like I said, once you know better, you do better. So
Jeff, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jeff.
I was going to say, I don't spank my children. Never have. They get disciplined. I remember one time my son, he was little, and we had taken a trip, matter of fact, down to South Carolina. And
ouch.
he threw a little tantrum, and he hit his mom. He was about maybe 6 years old. And so I snatched him up. I did. I didn't hit him, but I snatched him up and I let him know that this would never happen again. And he got the message. He cried. And, I hugged him as he was crying. I held him. And I just talked to him about why that's not okay, because that's not your enemy and you would never treat her like that. And so that happened in that light. But I want to also say real quick that it's really important for us as men to normalize telling each other that we love you. Like, I love you. I say I love you to my friends, my male friends all the time, my male cousins. And I noticed that for a while it would catch them off guard, but then they was like, dang, I guess it is okay. And now, they beat me to say it now. And it's a true expression of love and kinship, and being a kindred soul. And I think that we should normalize that, amongst our friends.
Absolutely. That is such a thing. It is such a thing. My guys, we do the same thing and have been doing it for years. So, yeah, absolutely. I applaud you for bringing that up, Jeff. I have another question for you, though. What effect do you believe, if any, lack of affection between father and son may have on the adult son and his relationship with women?
With the relationship with women, lack of affection from your father, it can make you insecure, actually. Because, a part of the affection from your father, the love and the valuing, because that's really what he's saying is that I value you. When you show affection to your son, you're saying I value you as a person. You are great as a person. You're good enough to touch. You're good enough to love. And I think that leaves a void. It might leave a certain level of insecurity in some men. And when you have that insecurity as a man, when you're engaged in romantic relationships with women, that insecurity plays itself out, and it can lead to what we call compensatory behavior, where you feel like you need to compensate for things. And so then you can start doing, too much as far as trying to be bravado and controlling and demanding and even demeaning, and it might even lead over into being abusive. So I think that affection from a father toward a son helps to kind of stabilize. And I think that part of Ralph Angel is to bring that character back up. You know, his emotionality can be a liability at times, you know, because it has led him into places where he doesn't seem to be the most mature because of his emotionality.
Yeah.
And I think that that could be a part of that expression of not having the steady hand of a father, the reassurance, nurturance of a father, that what fathers do provide, the level of affection and love, because that translates immediately into self-love. You know, if you're a boy, you have a man that shows love to you as your father, like you said, non-agenda, non-sexual love to you, then what you have is a reflection of yourself, and now you have self-love being started. And that's very important going forward in all your relationships.
You know, one of the things, Jenks, you know, to piggyback on, you know, my question is, you know, we often hear, you know, women, you know, complain that, you know, men are not communicative, that they may not necessarily be affectionate in a non-sexual way, but that may all go all the way back to men are from Mars, women are from Venus, and never the twain shall meet until they do. You know, but your thoughts about the impact that the loving relationship between father and son and how that may impact that son, that adult son's relationship with women down the road?
Well, it's not even the absence. What, supplant that with you ain't nothing. I'm sorry, I apologize.
Yeah, that's
so, with you ain't never going to be nothing. You're a follower. You're trash. You're garbage. That's the message that leads to the boy being, he could be successful in everything, but still there's just a deep-seated insecurity that you, like, you don't have the confidence to walk up to a strange woman and say hi for fear of rejection.
Well, can't handle that either.
You can't, because you can't process rejection because you've been rejected your whole life. And that's the anchor about my neck that I had to really get through that one. Like, you know, on the reason people like you because of me, that thing.
Wow.
Yeah, and see, Jenks, you're going somewhere else now, brother. And I was thinking it too, Harold, when you asked the questions. Sometimes, you know, the sisters, they dig deep. You know, we say we're not emotionally available, we're not communicative, we're not open enough. But then sometimes those things are weaponized against us when we are.
That's exactly right. And guess who you're attracted to? The women who know how to exploit that.
Boy, know exactly where every button is.
That's a whole other show, though. That's a whole other show.
Well, give me a little bit of that, Jenks.
It's the synergy, the symbiosis that goes on. They know your doubt, your hesitation, and can exploit that for their own gain. So, as if you ain't no good, you meet the woman who said, "Well, you know, if you want to be my man, you need to pay my mortgage."
This is
true. Like, and as opposed to saying, like, get out of my face, you go, okay, because you don't have your own, you don't have your own sense of identity. You don't value yourself. You don't. You fear rejection, so you get boxed into these situations where it's like, hey, that I'm into so much stuff anyway. So next up on the Daily Drama.
Right. But look, let me just say that if you know, the loving affection that I got from my father, you know, led me in the right direction, then, you know, thank you, Dad, because the only mortgage that I've ever paid is mine. So.
Legacy of sheep pimps in my
rent,
portfolio.
Rent, light bill, none of that.
Yeah, all of that. All of that.
That's that security, and that's that manhood. You know, you're stable, you're steady, you're not going to be a pushover, you're not so easily manipulated because you have a solid foundation of men that you respect that have shown you that you're worth something and that you're worthy. And our brothers in the street, they don't have that. They gravitate towards gangs because in a gang, they feel secure. They feel that protection from other men and other boys. It's very deep.
Yeah, indeed. So, well, I want to thank both of you for making yourself available to having this really, really great conversation. And I, 2 years ago, or 2 days ago, or 2 hours ago, Smokey Norfolk, I salute you and your relationship with your son, and I really, really appreciate your help, Jeff, and sharing your relationship, and Jenks, you sharing your relationship with your son as well. I appreciate all the brothers. So,
thanks, Harold. Thanks, Jenks.
It's great to be with you guys. All right.
That is the Daily Drum. for this Thursday, December 15th. I'm Harold Fisher.